Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Art of Seduction. I am Pam Ray, a poet on All Poet Group website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. Tonight is warm, wonderful poetry compelling you to the edge of your seat, sultry, seductive, and scintillating, ink to make you shiver, to make you sigh. Tonight is our central poetry night. If you find that this is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everyone's taste. Also, make sure when you get a chance to check out the poetry anthologies put out by Late Night Poets on Amazon, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. Now, for tonight's contest, we have a few carryovers from, or for tonight's show, we have a few carryovers from my intertwined contest and show from a couple weeks ago, and we also have several writes from another contest I ran on All Poetry looking for central rites where the theme was winter fantasy. And I provided a variety of fantasy art with winter themes, or just told people they could write something sensual, not vulgar or explicit, but sensual or romantic, based on the theme of winter fantasy. So I am definitely looking forward to tonight's show, looking forward to delving into the poetry. It's always great to see what people get out of a variety of prompts. And with that being said, I don't have any other callers yet, but hopefully soon. And in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and continue forward. So, first poem up. All right. This is "You Taste Like" by Mamia, and it goes like this. You taste like the sparkle of morning dew after a rainy night, late on the light on the tongue, my heart's delight. Your skin is midsummer evening, fireworks in the sky, candy apple delicacies dripping down my chin. Your voice is ocean tide rising, crashing on rocky shores, then ebbing, revealing tidal pools full of jewels. Your touch is gossamer wings fluttering across against fire, incandescent heat, and intoxicating fumes. Your breath is lavender blooms in spring under sunny rain showers, wild and unchecked in fields and meadows. Your life is a cosmic kaleidoscope turning end over end, colorful, broken, complete, and forever intertwined with mine. End poem. I have to say that is just absolutely a beautiful write by Mamia. I see she had this in a contest a year ago and won a gold in it. So congratulations on that, Mamia. It was definitely a well-deserved gold. A beautiful write all the way through. And what I like is that she takes the sense of taste and she turns it on her head. She doesn't just stick with imagery and metaphors that would be something that we necessarily taste. But the taste, you taste like the sparkle of morning dew after a rainy night. What a wonderful imagery to start on. I like that she throws in the candle apple delicacies dripping down my chin was particularly sensual in nature. But I also really liked that there was the idea of the person's voice being like the ocean tide rising. There's something about this that's very much very sensual and not only a sensual physical connection, but a spiritual and emotional connection. There is so much appreciation for this person as a whole, that not only for them, but for the life that they've lived. Your life is a cosmic kaleidoscope turning end over end. That, those are such profound lines, and the idea that they don't just apply to the one person being written about in this poem, but rather that they apply to every person in this world. So many times we are made complete because our life is a kaleidoscope. Absolutely a stunning write and very well done. And hello, Naomi. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Glad you could join. How's it
hello.
Going?
Oh, great.
Good.
And
I'm
you?
Glad to hear that. Oh, I'm doing great. As I always say, looking forward to hanging out with cool poets like you and, you know, just delving into the poetry. Such a great night tonight.
And the one you just the one just read was so beautiful by Mamia. Oh my gracious! She has
it
some
was. Would
amazing
you like to comment further?
Lines in there. Oh, I just love your skin is midsummer evening, fireworks in the sky, candy apple delicious dripping down my chin. And there's so many amazing, amazing. Each stanza, I mean, each stanza by its own is amazing. This is just a brilliant writing by Mamia. Yeah, just love this poem.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. Really well said there. Yeah, the first few rites we're going to go through are actually carryovers from my last Art of Seduction show, which was the topic of intertwined. So
okay, yeah.
Going through those first and then moving on to winter fantasy. All right. So I have up next Root Cause by Linda M.B. And would you go ahead and give that a read, please?
Okay. Root Cause. I connect with you. You are flawed, like me, a prisoner of whatever gnaws at you. So swallow hard. If you start to choke, beat your chest, spit it up, then sink back into the hot impulse of mess that floats your boat. Your silence says more than words. I dream of you. I know you dream of me. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. You know, I think the important thing about reading brevities is to know to take it a slower. And I felt like your voice, your the way you carried that poem had that nice, tender, slowing feel to it that reading a romantic brevity needs to have. There is a bit of darkness in this, but I think it's the darkness that adds to the depth of the poem. What I particularly like is that this isn't just about the physical connection. It's about the connection. It felt to me about that intimate connection between two flawed souls, two people who have been through a lot in life and maybe have made some poor decisions, but, you know, there's that potential for them to be there for each other. I do like that she says, spin it up, then sink back into the hot, impulsive mess that floats your boat. There's something almost playful about those lines. So just a really nice brevity to me and very well done. And Naomi, what did you get from this?
This Linda, she amazes me every time. Like, this is so powerful. It's so sharp. You know, it's just right to the point, and it's so powerful, those lines. Lines you mentioned there, swallow hard. If you choke, beat your chest, spit it out, then sink back. You know, impulsive mess that floats your boat, your silence says more than words. I dream of you. I know you dream of me. It's right, straight to the point. It's like poignant and... you know, it just grasps you, you know, within those lines and pulls you right. Yeah, not just pulls, it just yanks you right into the poem. And yeah, I'm along with you. I feel the like melancholy here, like loneliness too, that drifts along these lines. Maybe two people, you know, messed up, lonely, that are, you know, intertwined with each other. And, you know, this is just a great brevity, Linda. Bravo. It's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. Poignant is a perfect word to describe this. And it does have that kind of sense of that bittersweet loneliness within the lines. So great observation there. And, all right. Up next, we have Soul to Soul by Kenny W. And it goes like this. Soul to soul, in this modern world, we barely have time for the body, let alone the soul. But although lust and yearning is there in all men and women, it is the soul that is more empty, if not sated. Ultimately, yes, it sometimes only whispers, but persistently to be fed, to be matched, to be married. So if there is a tomorrow after death, togetherness will be instantly found, because nothing is sadder here and beyond than a lonely soul and poem. And your thoughts on this poem, Naomi?
Yeah. And this, too, it has a, well, it has, you know, the bittersweetness of loneliness throughout it, too. And I love his play, by the way, on the soul, the word soul, like, you know, like a sole of a shoe there, not just the soul, then a lonely soul, like somebody taking a singular footstep alone there, you know, without somebody to walk beside him, them or her, him. And, yeah, I just love this. You know, it's so true. You know, lust is there, yearning is there, but the soul asks for so much more, you know, so much more depth, so much more in sync, to be in sync with somebody, to really, you know, be that togetherness, that knowing somebody else and being there for somebody else and that person always being there for you. I think that's so important in life, to have that special somebody that you can always count on. And yeah, your soul, it yearns for that, you know. And we see it in this poem, and it's so well stated here. So just a brilliant write all through.
Oh, absolutely! And I'm glad you noticed the play on words with the lonely soul as the very soul spelled S-O-L-E. I had noticed that also, and thought it was a really clever way to represent the idea of taking that journey in life, and the how we need to, you know, whenever possible, take it with a partner that you know, that feeds our soul, feeds our spirit. You know, so really great observations there. And you're right, you know, this poem does touch really well on the idea that you need somebody who feeds your soul. And what I like about this is that it opens up with, in this modern world, we barely have time for the body, let alone the soul. And that is so true. There's, you know, there's so many conveniences, so many great things about this modern world, but too oftentimes it takes us away from taking care of ourselves physically and spiritually. And I like that he mentions, he says, yes, it sometimes only whispers, but persistently, to be fed, to be matched, to be married. You know, I like that he reminds us that oftentimes our soul speaks quietly. It's not a shout. It's not a scream. It's not, you know, banging on a gong. It is simply whispering to us of its needs. So really just a wonderful heartfelt write, and very well done. All right, let's see what we got next. And up next we have Intertwining by Bowery. Okay, I'm just going to say Bowery. I'm not 100% sure. I apologize. But Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. Intertwining, the consort of my loneliness, my deepest guarded secret, the ease of my mind, my fulfillment and joy, turned into my craving the day I desired. I want to eat the cake and have it too. Where are you? Your beauty is subtly, and I am the queen of expression. Interpret a thousand words, each chuckling of yours, each blinking of yours, each coyness and fumble. I understood even before you mumble. In 34, I fly and feel 17. Just a word from you, my mind intertwines you. When would bodies do? Where are you? in front of me, touch me and tell. If I skip the beat, touch my neck and tell. Why do I feel parched? I am not myself. Can you feel my hand? I'm shaking. Can you hug me tight and let me relax? You are toddler and I can't look up. Can we just lie in bed? Intertwined with you, I am feeling every inch of you, your nerves squeezing in me, and I smelling like you. Your love is my cure. Shouldn't you express more? End poem.
Absolutely a wonderful read. I really like that this is about that sensual attraction between opposites. I really like in the second stanza where she says, your beauty is subtly, and I am the queen of expression, interpret a thousand words, each chuckling of yours, each blinking of yours, your coyness and fumble, I understood even before you mumble. There's this wonderful idea of people who communicate and feel, communicate without words. I really like how in, like she says, can you feel my hand? I am shaking. Can you hug me tight and let me relax? You know, there's this whole idea, that those lines to me are very vulnerable. You know, to me, because the first, the stanza before that says, you know, here's somebody who's always used to expressing themselves, able to interpret other people's feelings. But there's one thing that it seems that they don't express too often, and that is vulnerability. And so that when that vulnerability comes out, it makes it even more beautiful. There's a definitely a wonderful physical sensuality to I am feeling every inch of you, your nerves squeezing in me, and I smelling like you, your love is my cure. You know, I really like that. It's kind of a humorous ending, though, to me. Like, shouldn't you express more? It's funny how we can, in the first part of a relationship, so oftentimes accept somebody for who they are, and as the relationship goes on, wondering, well, maybe you should change that about yourself. So that was kind of a nice little twist at the end. But between that, all the lines before that really show a sense of connection and a sense of physical desire. And as I said, there's that vulnerability there that I really appreciate. And you read that beautifully, Naomi. Your thoughts?
Oh, I absolutely agree. This is amazing, right? And it has, I feel like a vulnerability, like you said, Pam, but I feel like there's a kind of like a sort of playfulness too in this. Like, where are you? Where are you? And can we just lie in bed? Because, you know, you're taller and I can't look that way up. So just, come on, just get in bed with me. And then you know, your love is my cure. Shouldn't you express more? Like, just take me and, you know, do all kinds of things to me. Just express yourself more. So I found that there was a, although it was profound and deep and that beautifully written, I found that there was like this delightful playfulness throughout the whole write that I really, really loved in this. And bravo, this is the first time I read this poet, and just amazed here by this beautiful, beautiful write.
Yeah, I am. That is a wonderful comment. I do highly recommend her poetry. She does have some beautiful writing. She's contributed to our shows on occasion, and I've always appreciated her. And you're right, there is that kind of sense of loneliness, of asking the questions, where are you, can I lean against you? So really great observations there. And let's see what we have next. All right. And up next we have The Pole by Lafayette, and it goes like this. I lie between your legs, bent, relaxed, yet tense and reflective. Lately, you opened yourself with reserve and have found reward. Our love grows and your trust with it. Your thoughts no longer suppressive. I see the small of your back arch, your desire signal begin to engorge. My eyes peer at the beauty, so artistic, delicate, yet screaming to engulf. Female friend, you can't feel, what do we do? You are enthralling. I take my slow, touching time, never to deny the excite and impulse. It's not your swollen lips moistening, skin driving us, all of you is howling. I lower my face and listen to your breath. Every change is felt and I excite. I bury myself. I gently kiss, lips to lips. My hands slide under you, my love stiffens, not accidentally. I want you to know I am crazy as I ignite. Emotions connect, pure motivation. Is your pleasure mine, a coincidence? Your skin so soft, electric, stabbing and rewarding, magnetically polarized. We melt into each other physically and mentally. Floods of triggers, sensations require constant sorting. I am now owned, driven to desire. My body reacts as cosmic chemistry. That was 20-odd years ago. In the kitchen, you slide past me, scant half-inch gap between us. My body fires, pulses, alert, driven to connect, bow, woe. Drawn, extended into you, let's discuss. But my reaction is embedded, imprinted. My very being must be with you. I only need it to feel your existence, and the heat comes with it. I am for you. I am pulled to you, now and forever. End poem. Well, I thought that was just absolutely a beautiful, instructive write. Right? Exactly. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Oh, it's so beautifully written. I mean, this is just like so passionate and so powerful. And the way, you know, he takes it from the beginning and then 20 years after, like he's still feeling the same connection. Wow, that is just so beautiful right there, you know. Don't we all wish for that, you know, to be with somebody for over 20 years and, you know, have that same feeling, that same attraction. And I love when he says, where is it? I have to find it. He talks not only of, okay, yes. Magnetically polarized, we melt into each other physically and mentally. And it's not only the physical, it's he brings out the mental. And I think that's so, so important because, yeah, we can feel physically attracted, but if we are not mentally involved, like mentally attracted also, sometimes that sensation will fade away with time, I think. But when you're mentally attracted to somebody, like your brain is involved, and you know that the cosmic chemistry of your body, but also your brain, and everything is triggered by the other person. You know, the way they speak, the way they make you whole, you know, the way you admire the other person, the way you can talk to them for hours. And I think he you know, helps make a relation durable. And I think he has a lovely way of just, you know, speaking of a relationship, a lasting relationship, a loving relationship, that you're so deeply involved into each other here. And this is just so beautiful. Lafayette, just bravo on this, right? Just amazing.
Oh, absolutely. And I really like how you brought up how there's that emotional and mental connection, you know, that And then it was absolutely beautiful that at the end of this, he mentions that was 20-odd years ago in the kitchen, you slide past me, scant half-inch gap between us. And I think it's a wonderful thing, as you mentioned, to have a partner of 20 or more years that you are still have a connection to, that you are still physically attracted to, but also have that emotional and mental connection. I really like where he says, I lower my face and listen to your breath. There's something about when you're making love or when you're involved in foreplay that's very important to be to be aware of the signals of your partner's body, and to know, to be able to listen to how they breathe, how they move, and to read their signals. And I think that part there really touches well on that idea. Now, Lafayette does keep saying that he will call in, but he hasn't done so yet, which is fine. It does sometimes take a while to you get up the courage to call in, but what the thing is, I will let him know that once you start calling in, it gets easier and easier, and we promise not to bite unless you like that kind of thing, right, Naomi?
Oh yeah, even if you're not great, even if English isn't your first language. Well, that's my case. Well, and I was shy at first, but you get you get into the such a great bunch, so you feel so welcomed and you feel so so secure and at home. Wouldn't you just love to hear his voice? I mean, read his poetry. It must be just beautiful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love any poet calls in. Yep. Any poet who calls in and can read their own poetry is always greatly appreciated. And I have to say that was just a beautiful and romantic, mm-hmm. sensual write. Written for his partner of 20 years. So just absolutely wonderful and very well expressed. All right. Now, we are going to go into the winter fantasy rites. And I do know, Naomi, that you have a rite. However, I'm holding off.
Oh, no. I just put it in case. So don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, I do want to make sure you get read at some point, but I'm holding off because I'm kind of hoping that we get at least one other caller, and so that way you have at least one more person commenting besides me. But
I appreciate your comments.
Well, thank you, and I truly appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. And all right. Up next, we have Bring Me to Life by NyQuil. And Naomi, give that a read for us, please.
Okay, Bring Me to Life. The crystal phoenix in flight, wings open to the night, the giant frozen pleasure, as rime falls to the earth like frigid feathers, ghosts of autumn shriek, their icy sounds in the silence of the frozen dead, while the diamond angel lays in a frigid bed. I stand above now and dance with Titian flames. I've weighed in hidden corners the recesses of your mind. Shadows dance with the glow of the fire and the silence that is caught in between. Somewhere out beyond is a room full of golden chains. Here lay seeds of wonder I've planted by design. Secret embers burn inside. Your spell pulls me under. Thoughts break their silence. Notions that you feed. Caress of curves with my eyes as your smile wets my hunger. Moonlight avows. All your needs, and you give them the freedom. High above in Arctic skies, a twinkle of northern lights, I float through the heavens to a light upon frosted lips. Warm and soft as the brush, the tension melts the ice. Moments hold their breath and await silken fingertips. Slide down from frozen peaks of pink-tinged mountains. Breath flows across rolling frosted plains and icy hills to arrive where cold is banished and the long shadows are abandoned. I descend into the valley where your sweet waterfall comes to life. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. I have to say, it's really good to see NyQuil in one of my contests and shows. I really appreciate his writing. This here happened to be the picture that he wrote to was the one most written to in the contest. And it's always interesting to me to see which prompts attract the most people and how people get different takes from them. What I found interesting, another thing before I go on commenting this poem, what I found interesting about this contest is that the sensuality within the many of the rites was a little more dark than I usually get, which was fine. And I think the reason it went that way is because people all often see winter as a time of darkness, you know, both, you know, physically and emotionally. But I really appreciate the sense of love and sensuality within these lines. I'm particularly fond of shadows dance with the glow of the fire and the silence that is caught in between. Somewhere out beyond is a room full of golden chains. Here lay seeds of wonder I have planted by design. The interesting thing about the using the phrase golden chains in the same, what are these called? Stanzas. Yes, that's it. Stanza that says, here lay seeds of wonder, is that the golden chain is actually a tree that it is poisonous. You know, I thought that was, I don't know if he intentionally meant it that way to relate to the golden chain that is a poisonous plant, but that's what came to my mind. And I think that's one of the great things about poetry. You might not intentionally mean something, but someone can reveal something different than it means. I also like how he uses metaphors to describe the female frame, the female body, slide down from frozen peaks of pink-tinged mountains, breath flows across rolling frosted plains and icy hills. And, of course, just an absolutely wonderful ending for a sensual. I descend into the valley where your sweet waterfall comes to life. Just beautiful lines, wonderful imagery and metaphor, and very well done. And, Naomi, your thoughts?
It's so amazing that he put in sweet waterfall at the end of this rite, because all along when I was reading it, I felt like I was flowing, you know, down a waterfall there. And that word waterfall came into my mind, and it just flows so beautifully, one stanza into the other here. And to end with that sweet waterfall at the end, I thought that was just amazing. And I just love high above in Arctic skies, a twinkle of northern lights, I float to the heavens to a light upon frosted lips. Oh, that's just such a beautiful stanza. Well, one of the beautiful stanzas. I mean, this is amazing all throughout. And, you know, there's a fine line I always find between ice and fire when you're caught in the spell of lovemaking. One is just as powerful as the other, and also between like medicine and poison that you mentioned, also there's a fine line there, and both, I think both can be used in sensuality, you know. They can both be used, and here he used it like brilliantly all throughout this, you know, the darker pull, you know, of the sensuality throughout this piece. Amazing, right? NyQuil, just amazing.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right that Stanza High Above in Arctic Skies was a particularly stunning one. And that's a really great observation that you've made there, Naomi, in the idea that both fire and ice are equally powerful, and that, you know, there is that fine line. In fact, there's a quote that, you know, the difference between, you know, medicine and poison is, and I don't remember who the quote was by, but I used it in one of my dark contests like quite a while back. There's that, you know, the difference between medicine and poison is often the dose, you know. And so there are times mm-hmm. where throughout history where plants and things that have been used as medicine at the right dose, but given the wrong amount, and even medicines nowadays, you know, there's a variety mm-hmm. of illnesses that people take medicine for that their doctor prescribes a very exact dose. Because above the exact dose, it becomes a poison. You know, so,
oh, so true.
Really, yes, absolutely, absolutely. So very cool there, Naomi. Thank you. All right, and go ahead and go to the next right. And all right, up next we have A Midnight Dreary by Daniel Duhaime, and it goes like this. It came upon a midnight dreary under a blue haunting moon when two hearts bonded to each other came into sight, holding hands and put under the spell of the moon. They passed to gaze upon a pond all aglow from moonbeams light, thinking how lovely nature is in all its glory. Sitting on a snowbank, the lovers molded their lips together by the glue of love. Temperatures rose, and they both felt compelled to remove their clothing. So with haste, two forlorn lovers stood glistening in the moonlight, bearing more than their souls. Being aroused by seeing each other, they decided to jump in the frigid water to calm the desire still locked in lovers' lips. Their bodies jumped and shivered from the cold, giving them chicken skin. After a few minutes, both emerged from the water, hastening to put on their clothes to get warm. On this night, they vowed to make love, returning home. All right, do you know what a clow is there, Naomi?
No.
Oh, I was hoping it was a candidate thing because I have no clue. Well, you know what? I'm going to look
well,
that
maybe,
up
it,
while
it,
you go.
It's probably maybe a way to maybe pronounce clothes, maybe clothes.
Yeah,
put on
I'm
your
sure,
clothes, maybe. I don't
yeah,
know.
I'm not sure.
I'm going
to Google that, and
yeah.
You go ahead and you share your thoughts on the poem.
Okay, well, I just love Daniel Duhaime. I mean, he's one of my favorite writers of mine there, amongst others, but I always just dig into his writes. I love how he started it off like a tale, you know. It came upon a midnight dreary. It was like, I just love that, you know, under a blue haunting moon, you know, the spell of the moon. This has like a fairy feeling, like a mystical feeling throughout this rite. And, you know, the still, he has the line in here, still locked in lover's lips, and their bodies, they're there. Bodies jumped and shivered from the cold, giving them chicken skin. After a few minutes, both emerged from the water. And then, you know, they vote to make love, returning home. yeah, I just love this ride. It just, it's so captivating. And, you know, and it's so captivating the way he wrote this. It just pulls you in. And I love how he laid it out upon the page. Just gives it more emphasis on each line here. And, yeah, this is just a superb, superb write. I really, really, really dug into this all the way, Danielle, and bravo.
Yeah, I have to agree. This is a wonderful write. I like how he describes he goes into the imagery of the moonbeams, you know, the moonlight shining down on the lovers. And, you know, I really like the line, so with haste two forlorn lovers stood glistening in the moonlight, bearing more than their souls. Being aroused by seeing each other, they decide to jump in the frigid water to calm the desire still locked in lover's lips. It's very intriguing to me. And I think what he does, you know, by putting in the idea that they are so aroused that they need to calm themselves down, it almost gives this idea of a forbidden romance. But it also gives the idea of how intense the desire is. I thought chicken skin, giving them chicken skin was a really great way to describe the idea of having, you know, goosebumps. You know, I couldn't find anything for clouds, so, you know, other than that it was supposed to be like a narrow gap or a narrow ravine. So, yeah, may have been that he actually meant clothes or, you know, it could have
I think it's just the pronunciation. That might come, actually, I think that, I don't know, but I think I already heard my grandma pronounce clothes like that. Put on your clothes.
Oh, okay. Maybe he was spelling it phonetically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Oh, and he is from Canada. So maybe that's how he pronounces it.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, no, I really appreciate Daniel Duhaime and his writing. Mm-hmm. He has a very almost flow of consciousness feel to many of his writes, with a nice, you know, real great flow to it. And to me, I like that within this, he tells us a story. A story of two lovers in the moonlight, and their passion and desire for one another. So, mm-hmm. I definitely thought this was very well done. All right, let's see what we got next. All right, next we have one that has a SoundCloud. So, very cool there. Always appreciate getting SoundClouds. All right. I think everybody's resting after the holidays. What do you think, Naomi?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. You know, I think for the next week there we'll have a like a real slow time.
Oh, well, that's all right. That's all right. Because I suspect, yeah. You know, after, you know, people will be coming back. You know, I know Wednesday nights are usually a favorite. We usually get Tom and Kel and some other ones calling in. So, you know, but yep, it's just, you know, kind of that in-between time, like right after Christmas mm-hmm. is over, but not quite New Year's, and people are resting up before they, you know, party hardy and all that on New Year's. And, but you have some great fun plans for New Year's, don't you? You're going to go hang out with family at a hotel and party?
Yeah, Yeah, and we had such a great Christmas. Oh, my gracious. I mean, it was crazy. Like,
we had
the music on, and my girls and my boys were, like, dancing all over the house, and they were just singing, like, karaoke to the music.
Oh,
you know, it's
so fun.
Like, they're just, like, a crazy, wild bunch, you know. And, and I was going crazy with them, you know. And we don't even have to be drunk to be crazy and wild and loud. Us, we're just like that, you know. So, yeah, we just have so much fun. So every holiday is just fun. Yeah.
I had a bigger get-together, not than usual, but not really big. Like, there was, it was me, my daughter, my son's friend, who's actually an elderly lady, so it's not like a romantic friend, just, you know, an elderly lady who's been like a mentor to him since he was in high school. And then my roommate, Chuck, and that was it, because my other son couldn't make it. But still,
okay.
We had a lot of good food, and this lady Eileen, that has been a mentor to my son since he was in high school. I've never actually had the opportunity to meet her. So when I got a chance to meet her, I was so happy. I was so thrilled, and to have the opportunity to shake her hand and hug her and thank her for everything she's meant to my child, who's now like 20, you know, going to be 21 in May, so not a child anymore, but still, you know how it is. They're always your children.
Yeah.
Always your babies.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. But no, I very much enjoyed my Christmas, so. And I'm glad that you had fun in karaoke. You know, that's something I've done karaoke at bars, but I always thought how fun it would be to have one, you know, be able to do karaoke at home. So, or karaoke, I'm pronouncing that wrong, sorry.
And we all have these awful, you know, off a pitch voices, like we can't sing and tone at all. So, but we still you know. Yeah, we still sing, and my daughter, her favorite song is Highway to Hell by AC/DC, and then she puts that on,
awesome,
and that became like our family song, you know, every time we reunite, we have that song on, and then my daughter, she just goes crazy, like she has this long hair, and she just rocking and singing and yelling to the song. So crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
So funny every time she does it.
Oh, that is too funny. That is too funny. Yeah, I usually have to have at least a couple shots in me before I'm willing to get up and sing. Very cool. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and bring us on to the next one, which is Winter's Triad by Sapphire Rose, and we do have a SoundCloud for that, so I'm going to go ahead and find that. Here we go.
Winter's Triad. We are all creatures of sinful enchantment, adrift in subspace. The cold beckons Winter's Triad. Ice invigorates, blurring the line between pleasure and pain. Lie with us. Let us bathe in your mortal soul. Neath the night's seductive haze, the triad bewitches, molding you to their ways. Eyes pin you in place. Ghostly fingertips trace your flushed face. But can you handle the sirens of winter? Or are you predestined to submit and solidify in the triad's lair forevermore? End poem.
Wonderful reading right there, Sapphire. And thank you so much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you can't call into the shows, but you can make a recording of your poem, that is the next best thing, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. You know? You know, the thing that surprised me with this particular piece of prompt, this artwork that was offered up in the contest, Naomi, is I thought I'd have more men, you know, jumping on it. Like, I thought I'd at least have, you know, a couple of men wanting to write a poem about having a foursome in the woods with them and three beautiful blondes. But you know what I think they did? I think they read Sapphire's poem and got intimidated. So, you know. But what do you think of this poem?
Yeah, I love how she took the sirens, and you know they're usually associated with winter, and with the water, you know, beings of the water, of being able to mystify and being able to hold men in their like magical or whatever, what do you call that, their power, empowerment, their you know, just bring them in and you know, mystify them, or anyway, totally you know, totally totally I'm looking for my English words here, take power over them, you know. And she took that and she put it and she made it into Sirens of Winter. And I find that so brilliant that, you know, that she took sirens and she made them into Sirens of Winter. And, yeah, this is amazing, you know, the way she wrote this. We are all creatures of sinful enchantment, adrift in subspace, and a cold beckons winter's triad. And all the way down there, the flow of this is just impeccable. Just a beautiful, beautiful piece. They're so creative and so witty and so brilliantly written there, Sapphire Rose. And but every right, I mean, Sapphire Rose just has such talent, you know, for writing. I just love her, the way she takes a prompt and she twists. She puts her own unique twist on it every time, and this is no exception. It's just beautifully written here.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. It is beautifully written. I like that she really digs into the mythology. And like you said, she you know, has the sirens, but they're sirens of winter. And that was a really nice twist. I do believe that the middle one is a goddess of winter from the Nordic, from Old Norse, but I can't remember her name at this time. The other one, kind of the one that's sitting down, you know, up higher, kind of looks like a feminine version of the god Pan, and I'm not sure about the other one, but you can definitely tell that there's a very mythological feel to the artwork, and she's captured that really well. And what I like about this is that it has a strong female voice. I really like Ice Invigorates Blurring the Line Between Pleasure and Pain. And then at the end where it says, can you handle the sirens of winter, or are you predestined to submit and solidify in the triad's lair forevermore? I like that there's that very challenging tone that not only works very well on a mythological level, but works well on asking the question, you know, can you handle a stronger woman? You know, absolutely, just a stunning write and very well done. All right. And up next we have The Best Way to Pink Lips by Mandy 42. And it goes like this. Your name runs over my knuckle bones. Clear are the letters, searing as the ink. You're the last space on my bracelet of charms, pale hearts, carnivorous flowers, pearl carp, and tarnished timepieces. I imagine a golden horseshoe would stand for you. Your hijinks, a jester, rainbow beaded and bucked, and I'll keep cracking wishbones until I strum the felt of your many-tone vest. I'm drunk on the need of your whiskey, the sum of your phrases, carnival glass spilled from my open palm fingers, and I glaze over in astral planes when I'm taken wholly into the nest of your arms, and I'll weave them with camellia twigs and swirls of sandalwood. Our hands can float with the consciousness of clouds, yours slipping stars from the moon-washed drops of my hair, and mine indexing coordinates on the uncharted map of your chest and palm. Oh, that is absolutely just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And Naomi, your thoughts on this poem?
This has just such wonderful imagery throughout. I mean, it's just so rich with words and metaphors here. Your name runs over my knuckle bones. I imagine a golden horseshoe would stand for you. What is hijinks?
Sorry, did you ask a question?
Yeah, I wanted to know what was a hijink.
Oh, a hijink is like a trick. You know, somebody who's playful in a trickster type way. Like hijinks mm-hmm. is basically like kind of getting in trouble, but you kind of think of it as not somebody who gets in trouble like they're doing something like they're evil, but rather just mischievous. Like you often think of little boys doing hijinks. Yeah.
Okay, so that makes your hijinks a jester, rainbow beaded and buckled, and I'll keep cracking wishbones until I strum the felt of your many-toned vest. And then she has, oh my gracious, she has so much in this. I love the one there with the... I'll weave them with camellia twigs and swirls of sandalwood. Our hands I can float with the consciousness of clouds, and then on your uncharted map of your chest, on the uncharted map of your chest, it's like, you know, it's not mapped out, his chest, it's just place where she can go and discover and explore and get lost in inside of him, you know. And wow, you know, this is just so amazingly written. I'm just blown away by this piece. Yeah, it's just amazing.
Oh, I have to agree. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the part about you know, index and coordinates on the uncharted map of your chest. And, you know, it just, I can see why she put one of the labels of this as romance, because it does have a very romantic tone. And you're right, mm-hmm. there's a lot of great imagery in this and metaphor. What I particularly like how in the stanzas there's parts where she she does a little more spacing with the words. And I felt like by doing that, she allows the reader the opportunity to pause and take in the imagery. You know, I liked that your name runs over my knuckle bone. There's almost this idea of somebody who you know, has the tattoo on their knuckles of somebody's name. And I really like that. But I also couldn't help, and I know this is kind of a little darker, but how the idea of how people used to gamble with knuckle bones. There used to be games of gambling that was done with knuckle bones. And so me, it has a duality in the imagery, in the metaphor, in the idea of taking a gamble on someone, taking a gamble on love because you've lost before and you're afraid to try again, but you're willing to with this person. And I like that she brings up the bracelet of charms, because we all know those charm bracelets. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the main company that does it, but, you know, like oftentimes you get the bracelet and then every year you might get a new charm to put on.
Pandora?
Yes, that's it, Pandora, yes. Exactly. Thank you, Naomi. And I like that she says, I imagine a golden horseshoe would stand for you. I thought that was really wonderful. And I also really liked, I'm drunk on the need of your whiskey, the sum mm-hmm. of your phrases. Carnival glass spills from my open palm fingers, and I glaze over in astral planes. There's something that's so beautiful and profound about those lines. There's something so... You know, like, it's the idea of letting go, to me, of everything that hurts you and allowing yourself to be freely freely given to this person fully. So just absolutely a stunning write and very well done. And
oh, I agree.
Oh, yes, yeah. All right. Up next, we have Meandering Melt by Cress Tersette. And we do have a recording for that one. And so let me mosey on over there. And here we go.
Meandering Melt. She was Arctic floe, frozen and adrift. He's a rugged pine. Sugar-laden shelter for her sinuous streams, sprinkling crystalline glints on her frosted curves, until she slowly stretches below the rigid glass panes of her reserve. Slim shivers, carefully coaxed by luminous whispers through chilly cloud cover. She stirs, versants, unwintering translucent tremors. His fluxing fingers release rosy ripples. His lingering lips spangle coral brooches around her nipples, dancing sun drops down her smooth slope, swathing her chevelure in heady hyacinths. Stroked by his sizzling starlight, her lithe limbs spring crimson crackles, bouncing bluebells in balmy chiming, a dazzling deliquescence huddled in his diamante duvet of deep devotion.
That was absolutely a stunning read. I have to say, she has a beautiful reading voice. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Cress Tersette, for the recording. Very much appreciated. And Naomi, your thoughts on this poem?
This is just so, like, delicate and so sensually, passionate, but with like a delicate eloquence here in this write. It's just beautifully written, just divine. His rugged pine, sugar-laden shelter for her sinuous stream, sprinkling crystalline glints on her frosted curves. It's just so tender, you know, and each thing that he does to her, you know, it's just so wonderfully written, you know. Yeah, this is just beautiful. And the way, and I find that it captures that prompt so, so beautifully. You just see her laying there, you know, with that star, and she looks so, so delicate there, laying there. And I think this right mirrors that all through. The coral brooches around her nipples, dancing sundrops down her smooth slopes, swathing her chevelure in heady hyacinths. Wow, that is just so beautiful. And then the bouncing bluebells and balmy shining. And then and the alliteration throughout this is just beautifully done, too. Oh, yeah, just this is amazing, amazing, right? Wow, just brilliant. Crest her scent. That's the first time I read her, but I won't be the last. This is just absolutely beautiful.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I highly recommend her poetry. And you're right, even the way she lays out her stanzas so that they have a sense of movement to them, really went well with the artwork that she chose to write to. I really like how she describes each one of these people in metaphor and imagery. She was Arctic floe, frozen and adrift. He's a rugged pine, she relayed in shelter for her sinuous streams, sprinkling crystalline glints on her frosted curves. You know, and what I like about those opening lines is the idea of how how he gives to her by creating a shelter for her, and her, with her sinuous streams, offers up nourishment for him. You know, there's this wonderful sense of give and take. I really like his fluxing fingers release rosy, his lingering lips spangle coral roaches around, dancing sun drops down her smooth slopes, swabbing her chivalry and heady hyacinths. I like that she went with heady hyacinths. It makes a great alliteration. Plus, you know, it's different than there's hyacinths just have more of a wild feel to them than, say, going with, like, the scent of roses, which, you know, roses are absolutely beautiful. But, you know, sometimes you like to see people, when it comes to the floral imagery and metaphors, you like to see people mix things up. And I thought that Crest did a wonderful job of doing that. Another great part of alliteration was crimson crackles bouncing, bluebells in balmy chiming. Just stunning imagery and truly a romantic piece about two people who really just, you know, become an important part of each other's life. So wonderful write and very well done. All right. And let's see what we got next. All right. Goddess of Starlight by Betty Page. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Okay. Goddess of Starlight. Rosy emerald eyes, sweet golden warmth in embrace, loving childlike heart, blushing kindness shines, loyal, genuine, faithful, truly cares for all, watches over lands, every single winter solstice, angelic wings fly deep into forests, crimps Christmas times, magical skies, Narnia's castles, wise as snowy owl, labyrinths made of pure ice, she guides lost souls home. End poem.
Wonderful read, Naomi, and what a beautiful write by Betty. She is so masterful when it comes to imagery and those short, impactful lines. What I like about this is, you know, Betty is really great at showing us various sides of herself through her writing, And I like that this one takes on a more tender tone, that we see within it a character who's loyal and genuine and faithful, who has a loving, childlike heart. And I like that she brings in the Narnia into it, deep into her forest, Christmas times, magical skies, Narnia's castles, wise as snowy owl, labyrinths made of pure ice, she guides lost souls home. I won't say it's a real sensual rite, but I think, you know, to me, it's sensual in its delicacy and in its intelligence, its ability to show somebody who guides and protects with a heart that's pure. And really, when it comes to relationships, isn't that what all of us want? Want is somebody that's there to guide and protect us when we feel lost, when we feel trapped in that eternal winter. So just a stunning rite and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I just love this little light, this little brevity here. And, I love Narnia. I'm just like, and the fantasy feel throughout this light, it brings me into it all the way, you know. It's just enchanting, this rite. It just has something about it, this an aura about the surrounding the lines that is just a kind of like magical, almost like spiritual in a way here. And there's a playfulness throughout it, I think, too, you know, loving childlike heart, and then the winter solstice and the angelical wings, and then the deep into the forest, Christmas times, magical skies, Narnia's castle, and the labyrinths, I don't know the pronunciation in English here, but labyrinths in French. Labyrinths made of pure ice. She guides lost souls home. So there's a kind of like a magical, whimsical feel to this poem all through, I found, and just wonderfully written here, Betty Page. Just a brilliant, brilliant write here. Just loved it.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. This does have a very magical and whimsical feel to it. I would say, I think the word you're trying to pronounce was labyrinth, is how...
Labyrinth. Okay.
Yeah.
So simple. So, labyrinth, just like it's written.
Right? Absolutely.
Why do we complicate things all the time?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I tell you, when it comes to languages, it's just funny how each language has its own way of being complex. You know, it definitely, mm-hmm. I admire people who know and learn more than one language, and especially, like, those people who learn, like, three or more. Oh, my gosh.
Like Salwa, she's up to five.
Right,
now.
Right, absolutely. You are so right about that. And yeah, you're so right about that. It's just a real talent. Well, it's not really a talent because it's something you have to work on, but it's a great thing to be able to have the ability to learn and to focus on different languages. So,
yeah, I always say it's like living in two worlds, like French and English, different culture, just different way of thinking, different, you know, different everything, you know, different ways of doing things, different. And so it's like living in two worlds. And so if you know more than two languages, but every language you learn, it's like living in another world, in a you know, learning another way of doing things and thinking, and yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It's amazing.
That's a good
rich,
way to put it. It really is. Yeah, you're right. It is there is a richness to it. So that's very well said there. All right. And up next we have "Her Breath Coveted Me" by Ed Hunter. And it goes like this. "I was truly in love. I wanted those eyes to gaze onto me, her lips moist, foodful, and delicious, a secret that beds in my heart. But think how this faded away from my tender dreams, a struggle that will never leave. Nor could I forget our kiss, a soft, passionate, tender desire, enduring a sweet taste, woman of whom my wishes seek to behold. The yielding madness, I'm deeply drawn to your soothing voice. I waited in the mountains for you like a single rose glowing in the moonlight. The wind held a chill with the frost. The trees glistened and whispered to one another. While I gazed, I dropped to the ground from the pain shooting through my body. The cold fell fault to my soul. I laid facing the moon thinking this was the last of my dreams. I have succumbed to fault. Closing my eyes, I heard a voice calling my name, a voice soft and endearing through the mountains. Wake to the stars, open your eyes. I am here. I tried to open my eyes, but the burning frost prevented my will. Pleading, I cried out for compassion. Suddenly, her warm breath coveted me. Tears spilling from my eyes, I knew who she was. She was wearing a sheer white satin gown, pure as fresh snow falling from heavens. The flame from my soul ignited my body. She held me and said, ask not why, only hold me." End poem. That was absolutely a beautiful write. And what did you think, Naomi?
Those last lines actually sent a shiver through me. She held me and said, ask not why, only hold me. Oh, that's powerful. You know, that is very, really powerful statement right there. That just sent shivers up my spine. And I love the stanza. I waited in the mountains for you like a single rose glowing in the moonlight. And the wind held a shield with the frost. The trees glistened and whispered to one another. He puts emotion into this. Into the descriptions here. It's not just the wonderful imagery he uses, but it's the whole feeling surrounding it, the whole, it's almost like seductive there. It draws you in, this whole aura of enchantment and almost like in a dark way, like spellbinding way, you know, but I feel there's the brilliant darkness in this piece that just holds you there, you know, and that holds him there. And it's just so brilliantly written that you just feel that emotion pour out of this piece, and down to those last lines there, and just wonderful right here. I just love this tale that you told, that you spun so brilliantly here.
Absolutely, yeah, and very well said there, Naomi. And I'd like to welcome Gray to the show. Welcome, Gray. Glad you could join us.
Hi
Gray.
Hi, Naomi.
Hello.
Is it just you two ladies?
Just us two. And now we have you. So
Oh,
Three's Company.
We have you.
And did you get a chance to read or to hear Ed's poem?
I was just reading it, and it's quite beautifully done. It's a beautiful execution of, you know, a portrayal of love and beauty, you know, and passion, you know, kind of sensual in its way, and just a beautiful poem.
Absolutely. It truly is. And it is beautiful in a dark mythological way in its sensuality. And what I like about this is it's that idea of someone who longs for love to the point where they it's almost like experiencing, you know, an emotional death only to be brought back to life. And I have to agree with Naomi, the ending lines was really powerful. And I like how the flame of love is ignited and the call for love is answered. So just absolutely a stunning light and very well done. And all right, so up next, I'm going to put your poem, Naomi, and you can give it a read for us.
Okay. Winter climax. I lay exposed, grass between your hands of winter. Feel the silence leave my mind and slowly fade to white, becoming the scent of snow, ghosting in the air, tasting the sweetness on your crystallized skin. Breathing is one long shivering purr, gently melting into the soft coldness of you. Your chilled fingertips kneading, exploring every inch of me as a snowdrop, each of your driplets pitter and pat, echo and float, touching and tracing, edging my patterns smoothly as you flow, teasing, filling and growing inside my trembling core until I lift and spread, becoming waves, eddying and rising, free falling and floating, rising again as my world flows by and by, filling and growing till I become but a shivering exhale to find and feel and be felt in return. And the shadows and shades surround and unfold, tightening, tighter still, holding me, gentling me, becoming me. End poem.
Well, hot damn. I think all the snow in Canada and Wisconsin just melted after that read. Very well done there, Naomi. And Gray, what did you think of Naomi's write?
I thought you did a fantastic job reading the poem. You know, this poem just speaks of ethereal beauty and connection that is out of this world. You know, with the seasonal aspect of it, you really did well bringing all that into the poem itself and still having it being a hot and sensual poem, even though it's set in a winter scene. Just a beautiful poem, Naomi.
Thank you, Gray.
Absolutely.
Well said there, Gray. And I have to agree, Naomi, she did do a wonderful job with fitting in the imagery that works with the winter theme of the show and making it sensual. You've got beautiful imagery and metaphors throughout here. A wonderful sensual tone. I really like your chilled fingertip kneading, exploring every inch of me as a snowdrop, each of your driblets peer and pat, echo and float, touching and tracing. Oh, that's a wonderful stanza. And I like that you use kneading, like the idea of kneading bread, but then it can also work on a dual level in the idea of meeting somebody. You know, and I like that there's so much movement within this poem, within the choice of phrases used, eddying and rising free, free-falling and floating and rising again as my world flows by and by. I like that there's this kind of sense of connection between two people. And wonderful use of the phrase, breathing as one long shivering purr. You can just, in that moment, feel the contentment of the two lovers together. So just absolutely a beautiful and brilliant write, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
And before we continue on, I'd like to welcome area code 346 to the show. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to?
This is Confess. I came, stop by. How are everybody?
Hello. And I apologize.
Hello.
Could you repeat your name again?
Confess.
Confess.
Confess. Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you, Gray. I'm glad I have somebody around. Welcome, Confess. Glad you could join us.
I know. I've been trying. So I was like, you know what? I have time today. So here, guys.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. And did you have a write in the Art of Seduction contest? I can't remember.
I did not have, I did not have a write this time. But I do have a poem I probably could go with for Art of Seduction.
Okay, well, I am going to have us continue on, but before I do, I'll let you know. If you see in Late Night Poets, the topic boards is a topic board that says the Art of Seduction 1229 Winter Fantasy. If you could put the link to your poem on there, or just simply message it to me on All Poetry to meet Pam Ray, that would be fine too. Make sure it's it can be either sensual or romantic, but make sure it's not vulgar or explicit.
Yes, I will make sure. Thank you.
All right, sounds great. I'm glad to have you here. And all right, going on to the next poem. And all right, up next we have Both Changing Climates by Titus Llewellyn. And we have a SoundCloud for that one. So I'm going to go ahead and push play.
Both Changing Climates. From which upheaval came, sands assigned the golden fleece, she to coax more healing, upon what basis the mirage seems appear, to deceive my ease retrieve it, make believe albeit mine. An Arabian girl I pledged did grieve belonging, best imagined, L'amour a mirage, my mind does quell, to find, alas, an elusive dream. How deeply remote, change of climate, for an Icelandic sage, a dryad dame, to part company with. Her nomadic ways, my mind's effluage, hopes pertain, ever to return. Courage dwindles, the dunes do show, how time and time again can be imagined kissing you. Love does not mismanage, missing you, my spell. Soul searching, your longing oasis.
Great read there, Titus. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. I really like this. Just wonderful, elegant language. I even like how the title itself is a metaphor, Both Changing Climates, because, you know, I don't know about you guys, I'm sure there's is for any, like, but up here, you know, in the northwest part of the United States, you know, you get, like, extremely, like, warm days, unseasonably warm days, and then a sudden cold spell, it really causes, it's more likely to cause storms. And so there's this, to me, within the idea of changing climates, this idea of a passionate, almost dangerous storm igniting. And I'll comment further, but first I want to get some other people's thoughts. So let's start with you, Naomi. Your thoughts on Titus's poem.
First of all, Titus, every time you read, I just go into like, like he said, and he mentioned in his poem, like into a mirage there. I just love his accent and the way he reads. It's just so, so enveloping. And I love this, how he, you know, he compares. He talks about the Arabian girl. I pledge, give, did grieve the longing, but best imagine l'amour, a mirage my mind does quell. And then he goes into how deeply remote change of climate for an Icelandic sage, a dryad den, to part company with her nomadic ways. The way he moves from one to another, and the metaphors he using, like he uses, like missing you, my spa, soul searching, your longing oasis. It's just amazing, you know. It's like you said, it's such eloquent and elegant language here, and the flow and the way he reads and everything. It's just beauty across the page, and enchantment for the ears to hear him read. So just amazing. Titus, once again, just love this.
Oh, absolutely, you're right. It is absolutely a stunning write. Great comment there. And Gray, your thoughts?
You know, Titus's work is always exemplary. You know, his reads are just spot on. He kind of brings the stories to life that he reads. But this is no less the fine work of art that he always brings us. And I thought it was fascinating, you know, the storyline of two people mixing up their lives to be together. And I thought it was just beautifully done.
Absolutely. Well said there. And confess your thoughts on Titus's poem. Are you on mute, Confess?
Yes, I was. Sorry, guys.
Welcome to the club. Happens to the best of us.
I thought it was amazing, and I love the way he read it. I think to me that was the most what's the word I want to use? It was the most enchanting, because it's like he had the perfect background noise too. Really, really cool how it was read, and just like they said, it was very, for me, I like the imagery of it. I like the setting that it put me in. I felt like I was in that Icelandic time. It was pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. I really like how there's a kind of a mythological and romantic feel to this. I like that it's people from, as Gray mentioned, two different ways of life, two different parts of the world. I know that wasn't Gray's exact words, but he said something that, and I can't remember your exact phrasing, but that made me think of that. Like how here the girl is the Arabian, is Arabian, and the guy is from Iceland. And I really like how he says, for an Icelandic sage, dryad den to part company with her her nomadic ways. You know, what a wonderful idea of two people who are both willing to part ways with the life they know, to be together. I really like that he puts all in capitals, love does not mismanage. You know, that idea that in the end, love knows exactly what it is doing. So absolutely a stunning and romantic write and very well done. All right. And we do have another SoundCloud that I'm going to go ahead and get that put up so that we can make sure that gets played also. Up next, we have Thin Ice by Weaver of Dreams. And I'll go ahead and go to the SoundCloud and...
Should we be intimidated by this air of superiority, the elegance displayed in every line and limb? She walks and talks with an ease of disposition. Every movement is supple, trim, and prim. All other aspects of her life are orchestrated, planned. Hair and makeup are immaculate, not daring to be less. Every outfit color-coordinated couture that hugs her form. Deceptive simplicity aimed unerringly towards success. This evening will be the biggest test of any gone before. He will expect her to melt, surrender in his arms at last. Soft lips on his, gasps as hot hands slide on yielding skin. Her body open, eager, willing, every doubt left in the past. As she gazes into the eyes of her alter ego staring back, only she can see the panic and confusion trying to hide. Can she pull it off again, convince herself and then the world? Or will she teeter on thin ice, held up only by her pride?
Wonderful read and write there, Weaver of Dreams. You know, just a great storytelling, and the recording is very much appreciated. And confess, let's go ahead and start with your thoughts on this poem. Confess?
Okay. Oh, sorry. I didn't hear you say my name. I was trying to reread one of the parts that I felt was very, I can see the imagery of, so it's the third stanza when she goes into, it sounds like kind of a climax where she's discussing where it says this evening will be the biggest test of any gone before, and he would expect her to melt, surrender in his arms at last, soft lips on his, gasp as hot hands slid on the yielding skin, her body open, eager, willing, every doubt left in the past. It's like she was free from some type of thought, and I love the part where there's a climax, and I felt that's where it was, and I wanted to feel that entire poem come together, but also on the end where she talks about can she pull it off again? I thought that was beautiful. And I found some insecurity there and some strength there and what we all feel, you know, I felt very, it was very relatable. So it was very well written to me. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. And you're right, this is relatable in so many ways, and how oftentimes we all have our strengths and our weaknesses, and we need that idea of that person who balances us out. So great mm-hmm. observations there. And Gray, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, she did a beautiful SoundCloud for that poem, but, you know, the poem is inviting and descriptive and deeply penned, you know, it's received well in its whole layout. It's fantastic, right?
Absolutely. Well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I am along the same lines as with Confess on that third stanza there. I thought the same thing, you know, about the allusion to climaxing there. Will she let herself finally go? I have this image of this, you know, this woman, this proud, proud woman that walks, you know, she says, walks and talks with an ease of disposition. Every movement is supple, trim, and prime. And then her hair and makeup are immaculate, not daring to be less. And, you know, her color coordinated couture hugs her form, and just she's just so all this woman, this just so perfectly, and wants everything to be so perfectly. And will she dare walk on that teeter on that thin ice and just let herself go? Or will she, you know, just, you know, can she pull it off again, convince herself, and then, you know, or will she just be held up by her pride? You can take it both ways, I suppose, like being a strong woman, or just that her pride holds her back. You know, you can either take it both ways. I find here, you know, I'm juggling between the two. Is her pride holding her back from something, or is her pride helping her to, you know, stay herself in this, throughout this relationship here, this meeting? So, you know, there's a double interpretation I find that's very interesting in this rite, that you can, you know, take out different meanings here. So this is the way it's written is just amazing. It's just a brilliantly written there, brilliantly worded, very eloquent and elegant rite here.
Oh, absolutely. There has been plenty of elegant and stunning rites in this contest and on this show. Mm-hmm. I've truly appreciated them all. And, yeah, really good point there, Naomi. I feel as if within this rite that the pride the woman has is both her strength and her weakness, you know. And I like how this is all about somebody who learns to be vulnerable and surrender themselves to a partner that is their equal. So just excellent right and very well done. And all right, up next we have Legend of the She-Wolf by If You Are Abs. And I think this would be a good one for you to read, Gray. So go for it.
Okay, as you said, it's Legend of the She-Wolf by If You're Abs. Along a path there were Sherpas, where Sherpas not dare not tread. She's on a chair, the queen, with jet black hair. Alabaster gown flowing down from there. Two piercing, lobal eyes, freeze lips and head. Stunned to a statue, stoned and paralyzed, the Himalayan lady checks me out, like a prey, to spider stuck, to web devout. Her palms and fingers fondle between my thighs. My heartbeat drummed like bongos for effect, and neath my frozen skin, hot blood raced fast. A Jolly Roger pirate flag topped mass. A gun fell on. Oh, I was erect. She thawed me with red lips and snowy smiles and wrapped my arms around her derriere. Jumped on my manhood, legs up in the air, climbing for a summit of 8 miles. When I came to, my head was in the tailspin. Ice Maiden and her throne could not be found. My hands behind my back to chair were bound. Then through a door, sweet pheromones burst in. She said, "Dear If, there's no man just like you." But I was not too sure of her intent, so I asked her and she told me what she meant. "I'm looking for a wolf was eyes of blue. She vanished from the hut without a sign. I managed to escape from heavy rope, and out the door my legs began to lope to see a four-legged Arctic queen lupine. End poem.
Great read there, Gray. I have to say, you can definitely tell that If had fun writing to this picture. I like that he, you know, creative, it was fun, great storytelling done in a nice flow of rhyme, you know, and I think to me that's one of the best things about poetry is and storytelling is really just letting your imagination go. And so just a wonderful write and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I just dived into this. Yeah, I just love this style, this fantasy style here. And this truly is probably a lot of men's fantasy for real here, you know, being jumped on by this, you know, this she-wolf there, and just she's taking control and all over him. And this is really like sensual and passionate and sexy and, you know, like, yeah, it really enchants you. And, yeah, I love this tale, the way he, like you said, I think he had a bit of fun with this, you know, jumped on my manhood, legs up in the air, climbing for a summit of 8 miles. And this is just a joy to delight to have heard this and read this. So bravo. Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Great comment. And confess your thoughts.
Yeah, I found it to be very entertaining. It kept me, like, I was trying to figure out what was next. Like, okay, all right. And then it got me. It caught my attention. It kept my attention. I even felt a little comedy in there, like dark comedy a little bit. That's that satire kind of comedy. And it was just really good, really, really nicely penned. And I love the way that it had different written language, kind of old language written, and just seems like it matched the times as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right, there's some great dark comedy in there. And Gray, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, he did a fantastic job on the prompt. I really liked his capturing of it, where he says, stunned to a statue, stoned and paralyzed, the Himalayan lady checks me out, like prey to spider stuck to web devout, her palms and fingers fondle between my thighs. Yeah, just a fascinating write, full of, you know, a seductive nature, and I just found it fabulous.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well said there. All right. We're going to fit in one last poem for the night, and the rest will be carried over to another Art of Seduction show, probably the one that I'll have in a couple weeks or so, but I'll let people know. And up next we have Here as a Winter Bride I Stand by Anne Bellinge. And confess, would you give that a read for us, please?
I'm trying to see if I can find it.
I posted it right in Late Night Poets, and if you refresh, if you can look in Late Night Poets and refresh your page, you should be able to see it.
Okay, I got it. Here is a winter bride I stand. Here is a winter bride I stand, trembling with anticipation, waiting to cross the threshold from where no turning back. Innocent voices of childhood lie buried in the frozen snow as my footsteps bid me enter my lover's waiting embrace. Snowflakes dance upon my lips, their sensuous touch a brief caress, assailing my virginal innocence with whispering promise of delight. My phoenix has wings to soar, love burning fiercely in her breast, each beat of wings drawing her closer to the fiery flames of the sun. A heart once encased in ice, bathed in the radiance of love, ice melted and molted volcano streams, flowing with deep burning desire. The senses drowning in delight, heat pulsing in hidden velvet folds, silken rolls swaying around silken flesh, awaited an ardent lover's touch. End poem.
Wonderful, wonderful read there, Confess. Thank you so much. And what a beautiful, heartfelt write by Anne. I really like ice melted in molten volcanic streams flowing with deep burning desire. And Gray, your thoughts on this poem?
Yeah, you really did a wonderful job reading that, Confess. But, you know, the poem is deeply intimate and passionate, filled with sensuality. And I thought it was just beautifully done, an excellent write.
Oh, absolutely. Well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I have to say that was an amazing, amazing read, Confess. Just love your voice. And, yeah, this really captures the anticipation of a bride there, standing there. It's so romantic. It's so light and airy and delightful and beautiful and tender and sweet, you know. And it's just the wonderful use of language here, silken robe swaying around silken flesh, awaiting an ardent lover's. I just love how she finished that out. Yeah, this is just a wonderful write all through here. And just bravo on this write.
Absolutely. A beautiful write by Anne. And since we have about 3 minutes, I'm going to go ahead and fit in one more small one. So this is Hold On Tight by Chuck 17. And Gray, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay, sure. This is called Hold On Tight by Chuck 17. She said, I want you to hold me, caress me. Every inch, every curve. I want you to satisfy me in ways no one else ever could. Come and enjoy the oohs and ahs. You know what you want to. Play some Barry White, pour a glass of wine, and then take me over and over and over again. Don't be afraid to come inside. Tonight will be one wild ride. Hold on tight. End poem.
Great read there, Gray. I have to say, what a wonderful, passionate write. And play some Barry White, pour a glass of wine, and then take me over and over and over again. Wonderful lines there. And Confess, your thoughts on that passionate poem.
I thought I got right to the point of where they wanted to go. You know, it's like, hey, I need some affection today. What, can you bring that to me? I got some Barry White. I got some wine. I got some instruction for you. Are you going to, you know, follow? I thought it was great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. And Gray, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I like it straightforward rawness. It was real and upfront. Don't be afraid to come inside. Tonight will be one wild ride. Hold on tight. Yeah, just a fabulous poem.
It truly is, and it does have that straightforwardness, that rawness that just really works well. And I'd like to say thank you to Naomi and Gray and Confess to all three of you for calling in. I really appreciate you all. Thank you to Fill My Eyes for everything she does in the background. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, who is listening now or will be listening later, we truly appreciate you all. This has just been a wonderful show. Make sure, everyone, to keep an eye out on the contests and topic boards put up by our late-night poets, hosts and hostesses, poetry readers and commenters are always welcome. And have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Pleasure.